بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم Inshallah, today will be the second part of our program discussing ghusl and istinja. Our deen, the deen of Islam, is complete and perfect in all respects, and it has taught us how to lead our lives in a manner pleasing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and fulfilling His rights and the rights of the servants of Allah. In every department of human life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come and taught us how we should live as human beings and be a mercy for ourselves and a mercy for others. A source of goodness for ourselves and a source of goodness for others. Every aspect of the Mubarak life of Rasulullah is mercy through and through. That if the kuffar only have to look at this dimension of Rasulullah's life, that how he made ghusl, how he relieved himself, and the various beautiful teachings of Islam, this itself is a dawat and invitation for them to embrace Islam. So inshallah today, we'll discuss the Mubarak ghusl of the Nabi of Allah. Generally when a person thinks of deen, then certain acts of worship come in his mind. He thinks, you know, I must perform salah, recite the Quran Majid, fast, give some charity. But this aspect won't cross his mind that I should go to the toilet and relieve myself in accordance with the sunnah. This is also an ibadat. This is also a means of me acquiring reward and closeness to Almighty Allah. So how important it is that we learn this department of deen also. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fisani Rahimullah was very great, a very great wali and buzrug. They say they called him Mujaddid Al-Fisani. His name was Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi. But he called him Mujaddid Al-Fisani, as though Allah Pak sent him to revive 1,000 years, the second 1,000 years of Islam. The amount of khidmat of deen, the amount of works that he had left for the ummah, the guidance that he had given, it will suffice the ummah for 1,000 years. Mujaddid Al-Fisani Rahimullah mentions, I've traversed this path of suluk, spiritual reformation, tread on the path reaching to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and I learned the 4 spiritual orders also, the Chisti, Naqshbandi, the Qadri, Saharwardi, different spiritual orders, and the teachings that they have given to connect a servant with Allah. He said, after learning everything, and all conform to deen also, everything is part of Shariat. He mentioned that I found the most swift and quickest path to take a person and connect him to Allah is the path of Rasulullah's Mubarak Sunnah. The Sunnah is the fastest and the easiest and the most harmonious path without any hardship and difficulty. It's only blessings and blessings, noor upon noor in this path. Allah Pak grant me and all of us tawfiq of practicing on the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah in all departments and all facets of our lives. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he commenced ghusl, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu anha, the Azwaj Mutahharat, they describe the ghusl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would commence with washing his hands till the wrist, to clean the hands. Imam Ajmain used to bath from buckets. He used to have a bucket and the water was filled in the bucket, and they would be taking out the water. So the hands, a person should wash his hands before he will now take water out of the bucket. Maybe he will take the water out of the bucket to another small utensil. But the hand should be clean. So the hand, Rasulullah, he washed his hand till the wrist. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his private area, teaching the ummah that this is the way that when you are about to take ghusl, then after washing the hands till the wrist, you'll wash the private area. Whether a person's private area is soiled with napaki, or whether it's not soiled, whether he's having a farz ghusl from janabat, or whether he's having a sunnat ghusl, he's not napak, or he's having any ghusl, mustahab ghusl also, he just wants to have a ghusl. In all situations, this is the sunnah, tariqah and method, that after washing the hands till the wrist, you'll wash the private area. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wuzu, that the wuzu that he would make for normal salah, the entire wuzu. The ulama mentioned, that it is mustahab to sit and make ghusl. Person stands, it's permissible also, but it's mustahab to sit. And it's preferable and better to make ghusl with a bucket than in the shower. Generally in the shower a lot of water gets wasted. But if a person knows how to save water without wasting, and he has a ghusl in the shower, it's also permissible. The place where a person is having ghusl, he should ensure that that area is not an area that's open to people, where his private parts or his body that's not supposed to be exposed are seen by people. So if it's in the open, the person should go to an area, he's wearing a lungi, where there's no facilities for ghusl and he has to have a ghusl, then he should wear the lungi and he should cover himself and then have ghusl, so that his private areas, the satr area, is not seen by people. And if a person, he goes in the bathroom that's completely enclosed, then that's the best thing, you most distant from the sight of people. It's better for a person to wear a lungi at the time when he's making ghusl to cover the satr area. However, if a person is in the bathroom and it's enclosed, cannot be seen by anyone, and he is completely without clothes, this is also permissible. At the time when a person is having ghusl, he should not recite du'as in the bathroom, because the bathroom generally is linked to the toilet. It's not a clean area. If he doesn't have clothes at all, then his private parts are exposed. It's against respect for him to be reciting the word of Allah. It's not permissible. And if it's covered also, then the area is not a very, very clean area. So he shouldn't be reciting the du'as at the time of ghusl. Unless the ghusl khana is completely separate, his satr areas are complete, he's wearing a lungi, no impurity, now it's different. The person recites the du'as that the person will recite for wuzu. So the Nabi of Allah, he first washed his hands till the wrist, then he washed the private area, then he made wuzu, the entire wuzu for salah. When you speak the entire wuzu for salah, in other words, the sunnah wuzu, not the farz wuzu. Farz is to wash the limbs once, then the farz will be done. And the sunnah is to wash each limb thrice, apart from the masah of the head, that is only done once. But all other limbs that need to be washed, you'll wash it thrice. So the Nabi of Allah, he wuzu that he would make for salah at the beginning of the ghusl. When making ghusl, person will also make the khilal. He'll make khilal of the beard, khilal of the fingers, khilal of the toes. The complete wuzu that is made at the time of salah, person when having ghusl, he'll make that. He'll make the wuzu. After making the wuzu, then the Nabi of Allah, he would take water and he would pour it on his head, 3 scoops of water. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will wash the right side of his body thrice and the left side thereafter of the entire body thrice. So this is what is mentioned in the sunnah method of ghusl, that when Nabi sallallahu after the wuzu, then he would commence the ghusl. When commencing the ghusl, he will take water and 3 times his water will be thrown on the head, washing his hair and his face 3 times. Then thrice on the right side, the right shoulder and the right side of the body thrice, and then the left side and the left entire side of the body, the shoulder, thrice. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in an area where the water was collecting, and one is a person in a ghusl khana, and there's an outlet, so the water is not going to gather there, it's going to go down the drain. The water is not going to be standing. But if the Nabi of Allah made ghusl in a place where the water was standing and the water was collecting, then when making wuzu, he wouldn't wash his feet. He would complete the entire wuzu, and at the end then he would wash his feet. So if a person is making ghusl in this circumstance, in such a place where he finds himself that the water now, there's no outlet for the water to go down the drain, then he should delay the washing of the 2 feet till the end. He'll move aside after coming out of the area where the water was gathering, and then the Nabi of Allah used to wash his both feet. This is how the ghusl is complete. And there are 3 farz in the ghusl. The first is to gargle the mouth, to put water in the nose, and to wash the entire body, that no area of the body should be left dry. Now in wuzu, if a person leaves any area dry which is supposed to be washed, or in ghusl he leaves any area dry which is supposed to be washed, then the wuzu won't take place and the ghusl won't take place. The person having farz ghusl, then he'll remain in the state of janabat, even if a small portion of the body is left dry. That is why it is mentioned in the hadith that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, man taraka mawdiya sha'ratin min janabatin. A person is in the state of janabat and he leaves out only 1 strand of hair on his entire body, which he لم يغسلها, he didn't wash that strand of hair. فُعِلَ بِهَا كَذَا وَكَذَا, he will have to burn in the fire of Jahannam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained the severe warning and the severe punishment for such a person in the fire of Jahannam, because the person's ghusl is not complete. He's remaining in the state of janabat. He's going to be in the house and out of the house in janabat. If the time of salah comes and he performs the salah thinking that his ghusl is done, but ghusl is not done, then he's going to come in the masjid in janabat. He's going to be performing the salah in janabat. He's going to be moving around in janabat. You can imagine how many laws of Allah are going to be broken. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, after mentioning this hadith, he says, وَمِن ثَمَّ عَدَيْتُ رَاسِي وَمِن ثَمَّ عَدَيْتُ رَاسِي وَمِن ثَمَّ عَدَيْتُ رَاسِي, three times mentioned. He said, that's why I dislike keeping hair. Hazrat Ali will always shave out all his hair. I don't want any of my hair to remain dry if I'm having ghusl of janabat. Of course, keeping hair is permissible and shaving the hair is also permissible. The ulama explained to keep hair is better than not keeping, because the Nabi of Allah kept hair. But if a person wants to shave his hair, as the way of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, this has also been approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how important it is. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned on one occasion, the Nabi of Allah had seen a sahabi perform wuzu and one area of his foot remained dry. Perhaps he wasn't too cognizant and he didn't realize that area of his foot was dry. So he never washed that area. The Nabi of Allah spotted this. The Rasul of Allah immediately cautioned the sahabi. He said, Ahsin wuzu'ak, go and complete your wuzu, go and wash this area. So how important it is that a person learns the sunnah and he practices it correctly also, so that his deen remains complete and perfect. He fulfills the ibadat in the way pleasing to Allah, according to the sunnah. So speaking about the ghusl, if a person is using such a ghusl khana that is commonly shared by many people, example in the house, then he must be considerate. Islam teaches three main principles: the principle of consideration, the principle of purity and cleanliness, and the principle of respect and shame. If a person keeps these three principles, then across the board, in all departments of our worldly and deeny life, we find this will apply. A person will reach perfection. Allah Pak will be so happy with him. Now you're going to have ghusl. After the ghusl, you left the bathroom in a very untidy state, in a dirty state. Maybe you need to remove unwanted hair. Everything is in a mess there. This is against the teachings of Islam. The teachers, so you shouldn't do this. The next person who is going to come in the bathroom, who is going to come in the toilet, he needs to see the toilet is in a clean state, that no inconvenience is caused to him. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Then none of you, your iman will be complete until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Now you would like to go to the toilet and see everything is in a clean state. Go to the bathroom also. So you should also keep it very, very clean. After you complete, ensure everything is in a clean state. The toilet also. After relieving oneself in the toilet, make sure, you know, the pan also is clean. We're going to come to that, inshallah, about istinja we'll be speaking about. In the bathroom, a person shouldn't be singing songs, nazams, reciting Quran. He shouldn't be looking at his phone. If some person wants to ask him something, something is urgent and you can give a response, but to be speaking in the bathroom all the time, you're talking, it's not a place to waste time. You complete your need and you come out quickly. Consideration. Consideration is the important word for us to remember. Now a person, everybody has to use the bathroom. The person who takes so long in the bathroom, he finishes all the hot water. Long baths he's having. And the next person who comes and the water is cold. See, so this year is no consideration. So we should consider the thing that now I also need to bath, others also need to bath. If a person, he's traveling, he uses the toilets that are found in the garages, you see a lot of people there, so it should be quick. It should be quick and it should come out. So this is also very important. Maybe a person is traveling, there's few people sharing the room. So the toilet, the bathroom, all these things, these are the laws of Islam. These are the laws that Allah Pak had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us these laws. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that we should cleanse ourselves thoroughly. Cleanse ourselves thoroughly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once gave nasihat and advices to Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu was the close attendant of Rasulullah sallam. He spent 10 years in the service of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 years. So once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed him and he gave him a lot of nasihat. Very, very beautiful advices. We don't have time to go through all in this sitting, but what relates to our topic, inshallah, we'll discuss. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam told him that, "Oh Anas, when remaining in my company, then whatever I tell you that's confidential, then keep it as a secret. Keep it between me and you as a secret. Do not divulge it to anyone. If you do so, Allah will make you a true believer." Nabi Alayhi Salam told him that. "And when you make wuzu, then make a perfect wuzu. The angels that are writing down your deeds will love you. Allah tabarakul ta'ala will grant you barakah in your life. And if you have to have ghusl, then ensure that you wash your entire body thoroughly. If you wash your entire body thoroughly, then Allah Ta'ala will make it such that when you complete the ghusl, your sins will be washed away." Ulama say the minor sins of your entire body. So he asked, "O Nabi of Allah, how should I make ghusl thoroughly?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "When you wash your hair, ensure that the roots of your hair also are wet." In other words, wash the hair very properly. Someone got long hair, zulfa, how more important for him to ensure hair is washed properly. "And when you wash your entire body, then rub your body." And you should rub the body to ensure that all areas are wet and are cleansed. A person should use soap, he should use these things to cleanse his body, so there's no odor that comes out from his body, foul odor, and cause taklif to people. According to a person's condition, according to the season, according to need, a person should have ghusl. Someone asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala, "When should a person have ghusl?" He said, "Every day he can have ghusl if he wishes." Of course, a person shouldn't be wasting water and wasting time. That's not good. But if he needs to bath every day to keep fresh, to keep clean, and be a means of goodness to himself and others, so he's going to interact with people, his wife, in the public area, in the work area, in the masjid, then bad odor is coming out. This person's armpits maybe is, you know, a bad odor is emanating. He's not particular about these aspects. Especially the sweaty areas. The areas where perspiration comes out, the person when he washes himself, he washes it. This is part of the sunnat of Anbiya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once explained the 10 sunnats of Anbiya. Among that is when he makes ghusl, these areas should be thoroughly washed and cleansed, and there should be no odor that comes out. Until so much so that the Nabi of Allah mentioned that if a woman is having ghusl of haze, then she should wash her private area. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned tatahari, she should purify herself so that that sahabiya, she doesn't understand. So she said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, how should I do it?" Now this is something that the Nabi of Allah felt difficult to explain to her, that see, a private area, how you must clean it. So he just told her, tatahari, you know, clean it well, you know. He said, "But how should I do it?" The Nabi of Allah was, that and being was full of haya, so much of bashfulness, shame, respect, modesty, that the Nabi of Allah, he couldn't explain to this woman clearly what he meant to say to her. She's supposed to understand, but she didn't understand. So as Aisha radiallahu anha, she pulled that woman aside and she told her, this is what it means, that you should now cleanse your private area nicely. No odor comes out from your private part after the ghusl of haze. And if you have to apply some type of musk, they put the musk to that area. So no bad odors come out, you know. Look how complete our deen is. Allahu Akbar. Look how complete. Every aspect. This is the aspect of ghusl. Let's just go to the istinja. Now istinja actually supposed to have been discussed before the wuzu and the ghusl, but intentionally I put it in the end because wuzu and ghusl, generally we need to know how to do these ibadat properly. So I thought that we'll discuss that before the istinja. Of course istinja is so important that if a person istinja is not done correctly, then this will impact on the wuzu and impact on the ghusl. So the istinja also should be done according to the sunnah. Right. Now istinja means to relieve oneself. Whether a person is passing urine or he's relieving himself, right, excreta, number two, right, stool, he has to clean himself in that way. In both situations, the deen of Islam has showed us guidelines and a lot of teachings. It's not just you're going to relieve yourself and that's it. No. On one occasion, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was, he came before a certain kafir. So the kafir, when he saw Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, he wanted to poke fun. This kafir, so very
sarcastically, cynically, he told Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, أَلَّمُكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءِ. I see that your Nabi taught you everything, even how to believe and how to go toilet also. And he was poking fun. In other words, such a simple thing like this, and now he's teaching you all how to, you don't even know how to go toilet too. As though that's what he's indicating towards, what he's inferring to. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he kept his cool, calm, and kept his composure, and he responded very calmly, respectfully. The Sahaba, they had the sunnah of Nabi Sallam in their hearts, in their lives, in their actions, everything they were. So they knew how to handle the situation. To handle the situation with beauty. So the response will be a dawat. It won't be an outburst of emotions in anger. So the Sahabi told, Ajal, yeah, definitely our Nabi taught us how to relieve ourselves. Because the deen of Islam has so many teachings that are connected and linked to this department, that all this required the Nabi to come and impart it to us. And then he told him, you know how many teachings? So he explained. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that when we relieve ourselves, we should relieve ourselves sitting. In other words, squatting, not standing. We should use our left hand, not right hand. We should not use the dung of animals or any impure thing to cleanse ourselves, because you can't become clean when you use impure things. We should not use bones to cleanse ourselves, because bones are the food of our brothers, the jinnat. When we relieve ourselves, we should not face the Qibla or face our backs towards the Qibla. This is all the teachings of Islam. And when we relieve ourselves, we should use cloths of sand. And other hadith mentioned, some hadith, we should water also, we should cleanse ourselves. So the Sahabi taught this person thought that he'll make fun, poke fun, but he taught him that this is Islam, is such a complete, perfect, comprehensive, unique religion, that there's so much that is connected only to relieving oneself and making istinja. Allahu Akbar. So the person wants to make istinja, he should understand that this department is also connected to deen, and Allah Pak will reward him. Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi, we spoke about him, what a great buzug he was. He said that this, a person relieving himself according to the sunnah, there's more noor and barakah that a person will acquire. It will be able to connect him with Allah, and it will be greater than all the other systems that the world had devised or invented, that perhaps may be utilized for the cause of deen. But it was not found in the time of Rasulullah, because this one action the Nabi of Allah taught us, this is greater than all other systems that are not found in the sunnah. Maybe another system might be permissible, you know. Maybe a person is using a WhatsApp system to send messages to people about something permissible. Maybe he's sharing a hadith a day. So that system is great, because there's nothing impermissible with it. But relieving oneself according to the sunnah is even greater. Because this is direct what the Nabi of Allah did. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine? There's so much of nur, there's so much of barakat. So when a person is about to relieve himself, he should understand that I'm doing this, I'm going to do it according to the way that's pleasing to Allah, the sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He goes to the toilet. He should enter the toilet with the left foot and exit with the right foot. Before entering the toilet, he should ensure that he doesn't have anything on him that has the name of Allah, the name of Nabi Alayhi Salaam, verses of Quran, Majid or Ahadith. If he has this, he should leave it outside. Because the area in the toilet is a napak area, there's jinnat also, shayateen there. Before entering, he says, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubusi wal-khabais. He recites the dua. He said, Bismillah, separate. And oh Allah, I seek your refuge, I seek protection from the male and female shayateen. Because this is an area that's populated with shayateen. In one of these, the Nabi also mentioned, Satru ma baina a'yunin jinn wa uratil insan, that the protection between the jinnat seeing the private areas of insan and trying to cause harm to him is he's taking the name of Allah, reciting Bismillah and then entering. Sometimes a person goes in a toilet and says the jinnat are troubling. But if you took the name of Allah Ta'ala, then inshallah you won't have problems. You won't have problem. Take the name of Allah. Then the Nabi Sallam also taught, when you enter the toilet, your head should be covered.
and go with shoes. Your feet should be covered. This is also in the sunnah. It's a dirty place. And the place that's inhabited by shayateen. Cover your head and entering. When you're about to relieve yourself and you reach close to the ground, you're wearing a lungi, then the Nabi of Allah would lower the lungi as he came close to the ground. So there's very little time where the satr area will remain exposed. This is called haya, shame, modesty, respect. For a person to remain in the state that where his satr area is exposed without need is makruh, is disliked. It's not a good thing. But of course, a person who's got a pants, right, it might be difficult if a person is, doesn't know how to do it. Person is very fat, especially if a person is going to the high pan toilet. So it's permissible to go to the high pan toilet if there's a need. If a person maybe is not well, he's sick. Or person is weighty, he can't sit on the ground, he can't stand up, he can't wake up. So there is permission granted, but the sunnah is to relieve oneself in the squatting position, and that is the eastern pan, not the western pan. So a person, as he goes down, then he'll remove the lungi or his clothing, and then he will relieve himself. In the state that way, he does not face the Qibla and his back doesn't face the Qibla. The Fuqaha mentioned if a person travels to another land and the time for him to relieve himself comes, he should now be aware of this. That am I relieving myself facing the Qibla, or is this toilet now built in the state where one's back will face the Qibla or the front? He should now see all this. I remember I went for Umrah 2 years back. So in Medina Munawwara, the person gave me the room. I saw the toilet is facing the Qibla. I called the manager. I told him, hey, I'm not happy with this man. The hadith, the Nabi of Allah told that the toilet, you should not relieve yourself in this condition. So they gave me another room. Shukr, they gave me another room. So this is all showing respect to the Kaaba Sharif. Rasulullah also mentioned, man tafala tuja al qibla ja yawm al qiyama wa taflu bina ayni. The rawaita from Sayyidina Khuzaimah, Sayyidina Hibban. The person who just spits in the direction of the qibla, knowing that this is the qibla. He knows this is the qibla. And he's spitting. He's showing disrespect. He'll come on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be displeased with him. His saliva that he spat will be between his eyes on his forehead. I remember this one, Buzrug. He was seated in the masjid, he was so tired, he sat down. And without realizing, he stretched his legs, in the direction of the Qibla. And then he realized the Qibla, and he quickly pulled his legs back. I say, he made istighfar, oh Allah, forgive me, I didn't do something right. But it was unintentional. When he passed away, someone seen him in a dream. I said, how did Allah deal? He said, Allah made my maghfirat. He was a very great wali and buzrug. He taught hadith for a long time. So Sa'a said that, which action Allah Pak? He said, this action Allah Pak liked, this action. He said, I realized and I pulled my leg back and I showed respect to the Kaaba Sharif, the Qibla. Allah Pak liked this. So when spitting in the direction of the Qibla, knowing this is the Qibla, and of course it's being disrespectful, so passing urine or relieving oneself facing or the back facing the Qibla, this is showing one of this effect. If a person is going to have relations with the wife, the Fuqaha mentioned that they shouldn't do it in facing the Qibla also. At the time of ghusl also, this is also important, is that when a person is making ghusl and he doesn't have clothes, he should not face the Qibla. He shouldn't face the Qibla, not permissible to face the Qibla, because now, or face your back also to the Qibla, you shouldn't do this. How much away should he be from the Qibla? So the Fuqaha said 24 degrees. If it's 24 and within 24, it's not permissible. If it's 24 degrees and within 24 degrees, you're facing the toilet or the Qibla, not permissible. 25 and more away from the Qibla now is permissible. So if a person travels to an area, is the Musafi there, he must see this here, is the toilet in the direction of the Qibla before he relieves himself. In the narration of Tirmizi, it is mentioned that Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that the Sahaba, they traveled to Sham. And some hadith mentioned they traveled to Misr. They traveled to Sham, they traveled to Misr, Egypt or Syria. So when they were there, they had to relieve themselves. So not realizing that the toilets were built facing the Qibla, so they sat down and they relieved themselves, and upon realizing, immediately they turned their direction away, and in completing, then they came out of the toilet and they made istighfar, asking Allah's forgiveness for this unintentional mistake that they made. This appears in the hadith kitabs, of Tirmizi, Nasai, all the kitabs. So to teach us that it's very, very important, the person should
adopt respect and adab when relieving himself. Then, as I mentioned, the low pan conforms to the sunnah, the high pan at the time of need is permissible. When there's no need, we should at least teach our children how to go on the low pan. We should teach our children. If a person has to use the high pan, he should ensure that the splashes don't come on him. For severe warnings have been sounded in the Mubarak Ahadith. For those who relieve themselves and they get involved in urine splashes due to not knowing how to perform the istinja or carry out istinja correctly. Now when the splashes come onto a person, his clothing can get napak. When his clothing is napak, his body is napak, then if he makes wuzu also, he made wuzu, but that napak is on his clothing. The salah is going to perform, he'll be in the state of napaki. Rasulullah also mentioned, tanazzahu anil bowl, refrain from urine drops. فَإِنَّ عَامَةَ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ مِنُّ Most of the punishment in the grave, people will be faced because of these things. Directly because of not saving yourself from urine drops, or the consequences of this, means the other ibadat won't be accepted because of this, a person will be punished. There was one youngster, and he used to get ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. All the time he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu in a dream. So, he used to come to Muazzaru Ali. Muazzaru Ali, very great buzurg of Pakistan, he passed away. So he used to come to Muazzaru Ali, saying, many huzur ko khab mein dekha, I saw the Nabi of Allah in the dream. And Nabi Sallam is hugging me. He was a youngster. And then he was getting this dream, you know, very, very often. He's always seeing Rasulullah Sallam in a dream. Nabi Sallam is sometimes hugging him, putting a shawl around him, and showing a lot of muhabbat. So Mawlana says, Muazzaru Ali says that this youngster, when I used to look at him, his face beamed with beauty. He was a person, alhamdulillah, he was very pious like this, very righteous, all the time in ibadat. He had good qualities. And I saw him, alhamdulillah, very promising youngster in deen. So he used to come and tell me this. So I didn't know what the meaning of the dream was. So I took him to my Ustad Mawlana Wali Hasan. It has that this youngster seen this dream. Rasulullah is all the time hugging him, and Rasulullah is with the shawl sometimes. So Mawlana just told, okay, I'll explain the tabir, I'll give the interpretation of the dream later on. So Muazzaru Ali told that youngster to go away. And then Wali Hasan told Muazzaru Ali that this boy won't live too long. It's an indication that Rasulullah is calling him, he's going to pass away. Then this boy passed away. It wasn't long after he passed away. He said, well, I made a lot of dua for him. He was a good boy like that, very pious. But I had seen him after about 2 weeks, after he passed away, and he told me, how's your condition? Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak forgave me, but I went through a little difficulty. He says, what happened? He said, on account of urine splashes, I was caught for this, I was taken to task for this. He said, after 2 weeks, now I was released of difficulty. Urine splashes, urine drops, how important it is. So when the person goes to the toilet, then he should now ensure that he is clean, no urine comes on him. If he has to relieve himself also, he knows how to wash himself. He should use water. In the time of Rasulullah, they should use sand cloths and water. Today we don't have sand cloths, a person can use some tissue, right? And he can use also water, both. With regard to the people of Quba, Quran came down. Allah Pak sent down the Quran. فِيهِ رِجَالِ يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّةَ طَهَرُ That among the people of Quba, they are people who they like to remain in purity all the time. So Allah Pak praised the people of Quba. So the Nabi of Allah, when this verses came down on him, he called the people of Quba. He said, which action you people are doing that's so beloved to Allah? He says that whenever we have to relieve ourselves, then apart from sand cloth, we always utilize water. We always use water. So Nabi Swasa was so happy. The Nabi of Allah also used water, but especially this fazilat came with regard to the people of Quba. Then, as I mentioned, when before a person enters the toilet and relieves himself, he should see that the toilet is clean, so he's not sitting on napaki, on the area of that is impure. After completing his need, he should flush the pan, and he should ensure that the entire area is kept clean. So it's not a means of inconvenience for others. Then, in the toilet, a person should spend very little time. He mustn't spend a lot of time in the toilet. The toilet is not a clean place. According to need, a person will go there, fulfill the need, and come out quickly. To look at one's phone, see the messages in the toilet. To be speaking to people from the toilet, this is now all not in keeping to the sunnah. Somebody asks him something and you have to give a reply, then you can give a reply quickly, but the person should not be speaking. When a person comes out of the toilet, come out with the right foot. After coming out, you recite the dua. Ghufranaka, Allah, I ask you forgiveness. The Nabi of Allah used to make the dua, Allah, I ask forgiveness. Muhaddithin say, why the Nabi used to make dua, Allah, I ask forgiveness? For the time he spent in the toilet, that was not in the remembrance of Allah. Though Rasulullah never forgot Allah for a split second also. But in the toilet, he was remembering Allah with his heart, not with his lips. So he made istighfar. And some muhaddithin say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi taught us to say istighfar when he come out, that, oh Allah, I cannot fulfill your shukr and the right of gratitude to you for allowing me to pass this urine and pass this stool, rid my body of this napaki and enjoy good health. I can't fulfill the haq of shukr. So you make istighfar. Ghufranaka. Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anni al-aza. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala who removed this impurity from my body. Wa afani, and he kept me in afiyat. He kept me in afiyat, he kept me in good condition, in good health. How important it is that a person should keep this in mind, that when he comes out of the toilet, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would come out of the toilet, the Nabi of Allah used to make wuzu. The Nabi always wanted to be in the state of wuzu, you know. Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that once Rasulullah sallam completely relieving himself, and he knew that Rasulullah wanted water to make wuzu, so he quickly brought the water. Rasulullah made the wuzu, and after completing the wuzu, he recited that dua. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi wa wasi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. The sunnah dua. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi. Rasulullah recited the dua. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi wa wasi' li fi dari. Bless me with a spacious home. Wa barik li fi rizqi. And Allah, give me barakah in my rozi. So the sahabi, first time he heard this dua, Abu Musa al-Ashari, he said, oh Nabi of Allah, you made this dua. The sahabi was perhaps astonished to see what a beautiful dua. He said, oh Nabi of Allah, you made this dua for these three things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that has this dua left out any goodness in this world and the hereafter? In other words, this dua is such a comprehensive dua, did he leave out anything? Forgiveness, you need forgiveness in this world, qabr hereafter. You need spaciousness in one home, qabr, in this world, the qabr hereafter. And you need barakah in rozi here also. And Allah Pak can grant the person rozi in the qabr. And Allah Pak can grant the person the best of rozi in the akhirat. So this is such a comprehensive decision that anything is left out here. So these are few things with regard to the ghusl of Rasulullah ﷺ and the istinja. Then one important thing is, Nabi ﷺ told Anas radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Anas, you should all the time be in the state of wuzu. And if you're in the state of wuzu, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make it such that if you pass away in the state, you'll pass away as a shaheed. We did mention this last week also, you'll pass away as a shaheed. So after istinja, person should make wuzu. And after wuzu, it's nice for person to recite some salah. But try to be in the state of wuzu all the time. That being in the state of wuzu is a protection against shaitan, protection against the nafs, and it's a means of a person gaining closest to Allah. As I mentioned, you pass away as shaheed, right? Rasulullah told Anas radiallahu ta'ala, make a perfect wuzu. If you make a perfect wuzu, then the angel kiram and katibin, who are writing your deed, they will love you. Allah will bless you with barakah in your life. The gunas will be wiped out also. And if you recite the dua at the beginning of the wuzu, bismillah walhamdulillah, then the angel will be recording amal for you all the time till the next time your wuzu breaks. So all these are the virtues that a person will acquire just for these three things, for the istinja, so much of reward, then for the wuzu and for the ghusl. Anybody got any questions regarding wuzu, ghusl or istinja? Yeah, you see, the person got the Quran in the phone, right? And many people, they recite from the Quran, from the phone. This is a separate masla. Is that the ulama say that it's not in keeping to respect that a person recites Quran from the phone. Why? Because that same phone, a person, there's a lot of pictures will come on the phone. There's sometimes intentionally, unintentionally, haram, filth also on that screen. Now a person reciting Quran from the phone. So that's how Hazrat Mufti Sahab, he was the first person who I heard cautioning against this. He says, this is not in keeping to adab and respect. This is not in keeping. Well, alhamdulillah, I also told many, many people that now we should show a lot of respect. We're not saying it is impermissible. We're not saying it is impermissible. But the Quran is the kitab of Allah that deserves very, very great amount of honor, respect and adab. Not like any other book or any other literature. Now imagine on that same phone you're seeing news. Right? Somebody says some news report to you. Some person looking at some film. Some person is watching movies. Allah Pak save all that haram you're doing. And now on the same phone now you say reciting Allah Ta'ala's. You see, like if your father comes to your home and then you seat your father like a normal person, you're not showing your father any special importance. So how will your father feel? He said, no, I dealt with you like a human being. I wasn't disrespectful. He says that I be your father. I'm worthy of being shown the most amount of respect from all the people. You should go out of your way to show me a lot of respect extra. So the kalam of Allah is so great, really we cannot equate it with any other thing. We can't. So the Quran should not be put on the phones and that, and the person reciting and all this. We should not be keeping the Quran and reciting from the phone. I have the Quran, you must have the Quran. And with a lot of adab and respect, you make wuzu, and you sit down, and then you recite the Quran with that adab. Then you find Allah Pak will be so happy. Remember, we're not speaking about impermissibility. Nobody says impermissible. We're saying definitely is not in keeping to the highest level of adab and respect that the Quran deserves. So, but of course, if a person got the Quran in that phone, and he saw it on the screen, and he goes to the toilet, then the Quran is not there. If the Quran is not there, so it will be permissible to take the phone in the toilet. It will be permissible. Taweez, if a person got a taweez, and it's covered, and then it's permissible to use it. Now, a person needs a taweez, so it's not open, so the name of Allah Ta'ala is not exposed. So that will be permissible. Yeah, wuzu in the shower, person. After a person makes wuzu, he should wash both his feet. If he wears the moza, then if he's not a musafir, he's staying in his hometown, he's not a musafir, then he can use the moza and make masa on it for one day and one night, 24 hours. It means that after the wuzu breaks, he will make a complete wuzu, but he won't wash his feet, he will just make masa on the moza. And if he's a musafir, then he can continue making masa on the moza for 3 days and three nights. When this period elapses, then of course he cannot continue making masa, he must take it out, and then he must make a fresh wuzu, washing his feet. Okay. Yeah, masa from the toes going up. Yeah, from the toes going up. Making masa on normal socks, the wuzu will not take place. If you see any person, he made wuzu, and he made masa on his normal, regular socks, cotton socks, you cannot read namaz behind such a person, because there's no wuzu. His wuzu is not valid. If his wuzu is not valid, the salah won't be valid also. So if a person saw the imam of the haram, he went to Makkah. An example, he saw the imam of the haram. He can't follow that imam. He can't say, I'm in Makkah here. Yeah, but the Kaaba says 100,000 reward. I have to follow this imam. Imam's wuzu is not valid. So you won't get any namaz, let alone 100,000, you won't get one reward also. This is if you know. You don't know now the imam is making, not making, that of course you will perform the salah behind them, thinking that they also wash their feet. So there's no reason for you to doubt people. Yeah. Generally people don't have clothing. In your mind, you're making your mind. But if a person doesn't make any niyat for ghusl, but he knows I'm making ghusl, that knowing is an intention. That knowing is an intention. Yeah, it's not right. See, the bathroom and toilet is a place that where, especially in our bathroom, toilets are linked. So now to bring the Quran Sharif over there in it is... In the room is different. In the room is different, and he's in the toilet and he can hear it in the room. That's a different thing. It's not in the bathroom. Yeah, it's in the room there. But, of course, now if you relieve yourself and you got a bayan playing in the room, right, and you're in the toilet and you're hearing that now, this is Buzruk's bayan. It's not in keeping to adab at that time to have that bayan playing and in the toilet and you're hearing the bayan. It doesn't go there. It's not in keeping. The adab is that it's a dini talk. So it's a dini talk, after you finish with the toilet, you make a nice wuzu. A nice wuzu, and you're sitting there in your room, and you give undivided attention to only the bayan. Now you're in the toilet, your attention is towards now the urine also, towards the excreta also, and then this, it's not in keeping, it's not in, there's no respect here. It's not respect, we shouldn't be doing that, this person shouldn't do this. Yeah, you shouldn't eat, you shouldn't chew gum, you shouldn't always clean the toilet. Yeah. And while you're relieving yourself, it's mentioned that the person shouldn't look at the excreta. It's not good. You should, whatever, you should wash it down. You shouldn't be looking long at all these things. This is also something that it's not good. Some fuqaha mentioned by looking at excreta, a person's memory also can become weak. This is not a hadith thing. That is proven to tajraba, to experience. Yeah. This is an important question. If the basin where you make wuzu, the toilet, the shower, all are in one, so should you recite the du'as or not? When you're making wuzu at the basin. Ji? Smoke. You mustn't smoke. The smoking is out. You mustn't smoke there. Right? In the toilet, you mustn't eat, you mustn't smoke, all this. So can you recite the du'as at the basin if the toilet is there also, the shower? So ulama mentioned that if the basin is slightly away from the toilet, basically both these, the toilet and the basin, can be regarded as two different places. One is so close that now you like in the toilet. But if the toilet is at one point and then if the basin is slightly away, then you can recite the dua because you're wearing clothes at the time of wuzu, and then you take the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, bismillah, alhamdulillah, and you commence your wuzu, you can do that. If people have that high pan, as you close the toilet also, you can even close the pan, even better.
The bathroom and the toilet is at one. The toilet is on one corner. The person is entering the place where the sink is. There he's not wearing the shoes.
If it's clean, the area is clean, it's all right. If the area is clean, it's all right, not a problem. When should you recite the dua at that, when you're entering a big bathroom that has the basin one side, the toilet and the shower cubicle on the other side? So best when you're entering. When you're entering, you enter with the left foot and you recite your dua before entering at that point. Yeah, you can use it. You see, used water, right? What is used water? Let's say a person is ill. So because he's ill, he cannot make istinja through going to the toilet. He's in the hospital, or he's at home, but he's very, very ill, and he's finding difficulty to move, to walk. So at that time, for him to pass urine in a bottle, or type of utensil, and then they dispose of this here, this is permissible. Rasulullah was very, very ill, and the Nabi of Allah had done this. So this is sabit in the sunnah. At the time of difficulty and need, illness and sickness, a person can do this. Now maybe he has to make wuzu. So if a person is very ill and he cannot move, he's in a hospital, he can make tayammum. He can make tayammum. Tayammum, you just need to have the niyat of making tayammum, and then you have a stone, right? And then a person, he rubs the stone on his hands, and then he rubs his hands on his entire face. He rubs his hands on the stone second time, and then he makes masa of his right hand, right, from the fingers going up to the elbows, and then from the left hand, from the fingers going up to the elbows, and the tayammum is done so easy. At the time of illness and sickness, a person can't do. And he can perform that salah best if he faces the qibla. And if he's so ill in hospital, it's difficult, then whichever direction is easy for him, they don't move him, let him perform the salah in this way. The salah will be valid. Right? If he cannot move, then he can sit. And if he can't sit while lying down, he can perform the salah while lying down, just by with gestures, moving forward for ruku and moving a little more forward for the sajda. If this is difficult, he can just move his head. He can move his head for the ruku and move his head for the sajda. So is the Allah Pak made. And if a person is not so ill, then people can bring the bucket. And when they bring the bucket, then they'll make him make the wuzu. Make him make the wuzu. Now the time making him make the wuzu, then the entire wuzu will be made at the time of washing the feet. Now it's hard, so if you can put a bucket of water. Now that maybe it's like half full. The bucket is half full. So he can put both feet together one time in the bucket, or he can put one foot in the bucket, take it out and put the other foot in the bucket. Sometimes to put both foot in the bucket, sometimes it's difficult. You put one foot. So when he's doing that, then if some of the droplets of the water after he removes his foot fall back into the bucket. Whatever few drops fall back into the bucket, those few drops, that's called ma'i mustamal, used water. So because the amount of water in the bucket is so much that the used water, that few droplets will, the majority will be seen, which is the ghalib amount, the amount that's more. The used water is more, or the unused water is more. So the unused water is more in this case. So he can put the other foot also because it's lot. But if there's so little water in the bucket, he put one foot, and then now so little water, and most of the water fell off. Now there's doubt, you're not sure that the unused water is more than the used water, then it'll be a problem. You understood? Otherwise, you can do it like this. It's not a problem. What is used, not after you put your limb inside and you take it out, everything is, the whole water becomes used. No, the droplets that will fall off, that's only the used water. All understood this? And these are important masail. And then when a person is ill in hospital, you have to take the person to the toilet. Generally people don't know the masail. So if it's the wife, then she can look at the husband's private parts, wash him and everything is permissible because she's the wife. But if the children are taking their father to the toilet, then they're not supposed to look at their father's private parts and that. If the father can use one hand to wash himself and they only have to pour the water, then they must use a cloth to cover him in a way that they're not looking at his private part and they will help him in this situation. If he can't do anything and they have to now do it, then they must do it in a way that they don't look at the private parts. They have a glove or something that they're not touching his private parts also. And these are important laws that generally overlooked, or people generally don't know these things. It has to be discussed. Sheikh. Yeah, wearing diapers. Yeah, basically a person, if he has to, Allah Pak save us from all this, you know, a person has to use the catheter, he has to use it now. So, he'll use it. He's mazur. Person will be mazur at that time. The laws of a mazur will apply. Because the urine is coming out sometimes. Sometimes a person got a bag, and he has to move around with that bag. He comes to the masjid also. So as long as he's not soiling the masjid, it's permissible. A person got a napkin, right? He got a diaper. He's adult diapers. And he has to come, he's moving around. So it's permissible as long as he's not going to soil the masjid. The law of a mazur will apply. In other words, what's the law of a mazur? The law of mazur is when the time enters, he has to make wuzu, a fresh wuzu. And thereafter, he will perform with that wuzu, whatever salah he wishes, farz, nafal, sunnat, he can make ibadat also, recite Quran. Though the urine will be coming out in the bag, all these things will be happening, but he doesn't have control over it. So Allah Pak made it, our deen is so easy, and so much of convenience, that till the next namaz time, he will be considered as a person in the state of wuzu. Unless, of course, he passes wind. When he passes wind, there's another factor that is found. So he made wuzu for urine, but now he passed wind. When he passed wind, then that wuzu for the urine is not going to suffice. Now he must make another wuzu. Because another factor was found. A person who is mazur, then he can't lead people in the salah. He's mazur. He can perform, he can follow. Jee? Gastric problem. Yeah. If a person got, it's not a gastric problem, it's a wind problem. Gastric problem is something else, a wind problem is something else, right? So if a person got a wind problem, that all the time he's got this bimari, right? Maybe gastric time also it came with. But if it is so frequent that wind is being passed, he cannot make wuzu and perform the first salah without wind coming. If wind is coming a lot, but he can make wuzu and for salah, and the wind won't come, then it will not qualify him to be a mazur. In other words, it must be so frequent that the whole time must pass, and he's unable to make wuzu and perform the salah without that factor breaking wuzu being found. Then if he qualifies to be a mazur, let's say a person got a wound and there's a lot of blood coming out. The whole namaz time the blood comes out, he qualifies to be a mazur now. Once you are already a mazur, thereafter the next namaz time, the factor only has to be found once. But one time the blood came out, one time the wind came out, one time the urine came out, then you'll remain mazur. But if the whole namaz time passed and the factor wasn't found at all, then you disqualified from being a mazur. If a person now, he doesn't have any hair, then of course the face is, from where the face is, he will wash that. From after the area of the face now is the head. Then that will be that. He'll make masa of that area. اسمك دعاء اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل فصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد ما أنت أهل وفعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى والمغفرة يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا سلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا تقبل منا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه برحمته يا رحمة الله